From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is bringing the next portion of a message called Christ's Abounding Grace, and the text is found in verses 15 through 17 of Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul has already taught that the entire human race has been condemned to death because of Adam's sin, which has been imputed to all of his posterity. In this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the great contrast that exists between Adam as the federal head of the human race and Christ, who is the federal head of those who are united to him by faith. Because of Christ's virgin birth, he did not have a sin nature. As Adam was the covenant head of those who are born in him, so Christ is the covenant head of those who are united to him by the new birth. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ in its sweetness, its fullness, its greatness, its faithfulness, passeth all human comprehension. Where shall language be found which shall describe his matchless, his unparalleled love towards the children of men? It is so vast and boundless that as the swallow but skims the water and dives not into its depths, so all descriptive words but touch the surface, while depths immeasurable lie beneath. Well might the poet say, O love, thou fathomless abyss! For this love of Christ is indeed measureless and fathomless. None can attain unto it. Before we can have any right idea of the love of Jesus, we must understand his previous glory in its height of majesty, and his incarnation upon the earth in all its depths of shame. But who can tell us the majesty of Christ? When he was enthroned in the highest heavens, he was very God of very God. By him were the heavens made, and all the hosts thereof. His own almighty arm upheld the spheres. The praises of cherubim and seraphim perpetually surrounded him. The full chorus of the hallelujahs of the universe unceasingly flowed to the foot of his throne. He reigned supreme above all his creatures, God over all, blessed forever. Who can tell the height of his glory, then? And who, on the other hand, can tell how low he descended? To be a man was something. To be a man of sorrows was far more. To bleed and die and suffer, these were much for him who was the Son of God. But to suffer such unparalleled agony, to endure a death of shame and desertion by his Father, this is a depth of condescending love which the most inspired mind must utterly fail to fathom. Herein is love, and truly it is love that passeth knowledge. Oh, let this love fill our hearts with adoring gratitude and lead us to practical manifestations of its power.
Thank you.
desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Can you see the picture that the Scripture's painting? God created everything and He saw it was very good. God took man and He created him without sin. He gave him a help meet for him. He placed them perfect man, perfect man, perfect woman. In a perfect environment. This was life. And then sin entered. And as soon as sin entered, death invaded the world. And death passed down through upon every single individual whom Adam begat. That's the ruin of sin. As the result, judgment, the word judgment is the word that gives us the English word crime. However, it's not speaking of crime here, it's speaking of judgment, a verdict or a sentence of a judge, which leads to condemnation. Here is the result, the ruin of sin. It brings death, disruption of fellowship with God, alienation from the life of God, and all the blessings of that fellowship. That's what sin brings. That's death. But then it brings the sentence of the divine judge that leads to everlasting condemnation. On account of that one offense. Do you see the power of sin? Does that not emphasize to you the awful potency of sin? I remember when I was in high school, our religious instruction course involved our study of C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And not being a fan of C.S. Lewis, you'll not hear me quote him very much. I don't often quote heretics and people who denied the basic doctrines of the Bible. But I remember having to study that book, and one of his great points was that sin is entirely negative. Sin is the negation. But that's not true. Sin is a negation of righteousness, but sin is a positive, powerful, ongoing force of evil and rebellion and wickedness that brings in its train death, destruction, and eternal damnation. This is the most potent thing in the world. One offense damned an entire planet. Millions brought down to hell. Millions born in rebellion and depravity. Millions with their face toward destruction and their back toward God. And you trace it back to one sin. That's how powerful sin is. And that's the ruin that it brings. He traces that ruin even further and speaks of the reign of death. Death, like a mighty monarch, rules over the men of the earth, a tyrant ruling his poor little powerless subjects. That's the picture of ruin. Now, over against that, he paints redemption. Where as many died, he speaks of the gift in grace, which he explains in verse 17, the latter part of the verse, as life by Jesus Christ. You see, the answer to death is life. Where sin brought death, grace brings life. Where judgment, the verdict was sent forth to condemnation upon sin, the same judge. This is the glory of the gospel. The same judge who gave the sentence of death on Adam's sin now gives the verdict of justification because of the righteousness of Christ. Never think that in saving people, God sets aside his justice. Never think that grace in some way or other is able to blind justice. If God was every bit as just in pronouncing justification and righteousness upon believers as he was in pronouncing death and destruction upon Adam and his progeny. Understand this. The same judge. This is redemption. It's an act of grace that leads to the verdict of justification. What theologians call gratuitous justification. Justification entirely by grace without the addition or input of any work or merit of ours to any extent. And where death reigned, I like this in verse 17. See what redemption does. Death reigned. But over against that, you would expect him to say that grace reigns. He says that later. Grace does reign. But what he says in verse 17 is something so much more glorious. For he says, as if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. In other words, he's not only saying that grace reigns, he's saying that believers reign. What he's saying here is redemption. Sin reduced you to slavery. Sin brought you under the kingdom of death and darkness. Death ruled and reigned as a mighty tyrant, and you were the poor subjects, absolutely powerless to free yourselves from its tyranny. But now, by justifying grace, believers reign in righteousness and life through Jesus Christ. In other words, we are brought from being slaves to being kings. Isn't that what they sing in heaven? Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. God's people reigning because of redemption in Christ. So there are basic contrasts that Paul is working out here. Now, having stated the contrast, he draws some conclusions. And I'm going to mark four of them tonight pretty quickly. And these are the conclusions we draw from the doctrine. Actually, they're doctrines in themselves. First of all, first conclusion, salvation can never be by individual effort. It must solely be by the action of a covenant head. Notice that he's dealing here with Adam, the type of Christ, in Adam, in Christ. Comparison and contrast. What Paul is saying is, if there's ever to be any hope for the human race, it can't come from any self-help program. It can't come from the efforts of the condemned. Nor can it come from the application of any religious band-aids. If there's ever to be any help for fallen humanity, it's got to do two things. Number one, it must change depraved men, delivering them from their natural corruption. And second, it must go further and satisfy God, the judge, and his holy law, delivering the ungodly from condemnation and death into which they have come in Adam. Now, if that's the necessity, you will see immediately there is absolutely no hope for self-help. Nothing in religion that originates with man has any saving virtue or power. Understand that. Anything that originates with man has any saving virtue or power. It can't have it. The only answer is from outside. The only answer is in someone who fulfills the type of Adam and is a covenant head. Now, that's the logical force of verse 15. Notice what it says. If through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. Now, that, as I have indicated, will speak of abounding grace. But first of all, it has a logical force. What he's saying is, if condemnation came by union with Adam and the imputation of his sin, much more shall justification come by union with another covenant head in his righteousness. Now, this raises an interesting question. Why did God institute that covenant arrangement with Adam? I've even heard people who say they're saved say, I don't believe that. That's unjust of God. God condemned me in Adam. That's unjust, even though Paul says we sinned in Adam. I'll throw another one out for you to chew over. When you study the doctrine of the will in Scripture and in theology, there are two words that are sort of pivotal. One is voluntary, and the other is volitional. And it is a great mistake to think that they mean the same thing. The totality of humanity and human nature, including the will of man, the voluntary state of man, was in Adam when he sinned. That's not to say that we all volitionally, individually, made a choice. It is to say that the totality of our nature was in Adam, including our voluntary state, our will, when we sinned. So it's not a bit unjust of God, but still people argue over this. Why did God institute the covenant arrangement with Adam? Why did he not allow every individual, as the Pelagians believe, to come into the world free from all sin and just make his own choice? Many of the old writers, many of the Lutherans, for example, took the view that the Lord treated Adam as our head under the covenant of works because he was looking down the line and he was making that the platform on which he would ultimately deal with us in Christ under the covenant of grace. I think there's a whole lot to be said for that. Consider the case of the angels who sinned. Do you ever stop to think that angels didn't sin in Satan? When Satan sinned, he sinned only for himself. Every other angel sinned by individual choice. Every angel who sinned, sinned volitionally. He was not in Lucifer. He did not fall in Lucifer's fall. He made a personal choice to follow him into sin. But it's noteworthy that God never provided salvation for fallen angels. Hebrews 2:16 says, he took not on him, that is the Lord Jesus, took not on him the nature of angels. Or to give the text its literal force, the Lord Jesus did not lay hold of the angels who fell. Now that's not to say God could not see of fallen angels. Who am I to say that God cannot do that? I wouldn't take that on myself. It's not to say he couldn't see of fallen angels, but it's to say that had he done so, it would have to have been by a very different plan than that which he employs in the Gospels. You see, angels have no generation. Each is an individual creation. Angels have no racial union. Angels have no covenant head. God deals with them individually. Those who kept their first estate were kept in their first estate. We are told in 1 Timothy 5:21, by the power of divine election and not by the power of redemption, not by a covenant head. But those who sinned, they sinned, and they're reserved in darkness. God never sealed one angel who sinned.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.